I will go down into Sheol unto my son. It's translated grave here, but the word is Sheol. Not only did Jacob say he would go to Sheol when he died, but he indicated that if Joseph were dead, then Joseph was already in Sheol. Turn to Genesis 42. When the boys asked to take Benjamin to Egypt, Jacob feared Benjamin might also die, and he said in verse 38, this is Genesis 42, "If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hair with sorrow to Sheol." Jacob refused to let Benjamin go. Then later the famine worsened, and he allowed Benjamin to go to Egypt with the other sons. In Egypt, Joseph tried to make them leave Benjamin with him, and they explained they could not because, and this is verse 31, Genesis 44, "It shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father," meaning Jacob, "of thy servant our father with sorrow to Sheol." Twice, Jacob said if he died, he would go to Sheol, and once here his sons said Jacob would go to Sheol if he died. And remember, Sheol is the only Hebrew word in the Old Testament from which we get the word hell. Therefore, we would most certainly have the liberty to read in those passages the word hell. Jacob would be saying, "Then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to hell." In any case, whether we use the English word hell or the English word grave, we are still left with the clear statement by Jacob that he believed both he and his son Joseph would go to Sheol when they died. How about Job? As a godly man who endured great sorrow and physical pain, and yet never wavered from his complete trust and faith in God Almighty. Let us read what Job said about Sheol. For Job not only expected to go to Sheol when he died, he gave us a description of the place and the condition of the inhabitants in it. And I must keep repeating, Sheol is the Hebrew word translated hell 31 times in the Old Testament. No other word is translated hell. We get that word from Sheol and Sheol alone. Turn to Job 3. In the first chapter of Job, he had lost his sons and daughters, much of his worldly goods or wealth. Then in chapter 2, God even allowed Job to be touched with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Then in chapter 3, Job laments his condition and begins to say he wished he had never been born or that he had died at birth. Verse 11, "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breast that I should suck?" Then Job goes on to describe what his condition would be if he had died at birth. Verse 13 of Job 3. "For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest." And some will say, oh, that's right. Job would have been in the quiet compartment of hell, away from the sinners and the ungodly, who would have been burning and writhing in the flames of fire. Well, you listen closely, for here is who would have been in this place with Job, where he says he would have slept and had been at rest. Verse 14 and 15. "With kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver." So the great men of the earth would have been there. Let's read on. "Or as in hidden untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light," and listen to this further description of the people there and their condition. Verse 17 through 19, Job 3. "There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together, they hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and the great are there, and the servant is free from his master." Doesn't sound much like the description of hell we hear from the churches, does it? A place of silence and rest. Kings and counselors are there, and princes. The wicked are there, the weary, the small, and the great. Certainly, if the place of the dead would have been anything, like we are told by religion, godly Job and Jacob, the father of Israel, would have known about it, yet neither describes such a place, nor does anyone else in God's Word, which we'll see later. This is Pastor Emery. Next week, God willing, we will call on Job again for a further description of Sheol, and Job even gives the time when he will awaken out of sleep and come out of Sheol. And we'll call on King David and wise Solomon for the state of the dead, for both give rather unmistakable descriptions of man's condition after death. I am already getting questions in the mail about a number of Bible passages, and in the next few weeks, God willing, we will read and explain about Rachel's soul departing, Samuel called up from the grave, Elijah's trip into heaven, Moses and Elijah on the mount with Jesus, the rich man and Lazarus, the thief on the cross, the spirit in prison, absent from the body and present with the Lord, the souls under the altar in Revelation 6, the breaking of the silver cord in Ecclesiastes 12, and a few others. You listen each time if you can, and we'll read the words of Job, of David, and of Solomon, and of the writers of the New Testament. Meanwhile, write for the free February packet of literature to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. I'll send you the track by Oswald J. Smith titled Tribulation or Rapture Which, and I'll also send the long articles on Russian weather warfare against this North American continent. It explains how Russian scientists, using electromagnetic force fields, have caused huge masses of frigid Arctic air to move down over Canada and the United States, bringing snow, ice, rain, floods, and high winds. It is 21st century war and destruction. It is another sign of the Great Tribulation. Yes, this is Pastor Emery. And today we will go on with our Bible study to answer the question, where are the dead? If you heard my series a while ago on religion and mind control, you realize that the religious doctrines which people believe, whether they are true or false, do have a great effect on what they do or do not do in this life. The Reverend Jim Jones of Jonestown, Guyana fame or infamy, told his followers as he gave them the command to kill their children and drink the poison, quote, "The time has come for all of us to meet in a better place," end of quote. His followers apparently believed what Jones taught them, and he apparently taught them that they would go on living in another place after their physical body had died. Jones was later revealed to have been a communist of many years standing. His motive in telling them they would not really die, but would go on living, could not have been Christian or godly motives. Yet his statement fits the theology taught in most churches in America today, that humans do not really die, but go right on living in another place after death. It is probable his followers believed that, or they would not have so willingly killed themselves. Is it possible that some are misteaching man's condition after death for purposes which are not at first evident? In any case, whatever you have been taught will happen to you when you die. You stay tuned to this broadcast, and we'll see just exactly what the Holy Bible teaches about where are the dead. We are going to call on Job again today, and possibly on David and Solomon for their teaching on this. But first, while you are getting your Bibles to follow with me, I'll offer our free literature for March. This month you will receive a book, almost 100 pages. It would normally sell for $2 or $3, but I'll send it to you free if you will write and ask for it and tell me you will read it. I don't want to send it out to people who will just put it aside and not read it. The book is titled, Thou Shalt Surely Die. The title is from God's words to Adam in the Garden of Eden. The book explains very clearly the Bible teaching on the state of the dead, then examines in some detail 19 Bible passages which are most often used by churches to teach that the dead remain alive. Each one is quoted, it is told how it is normally taught, then the passage is examined to show what it really says. In some cases, the original Hebrew and Greek words are given along with their English meaning. The book can serve you as a reference book. In any discussion with church friends, whether there is agreement or not, the passage can be looked up in this book, Thou Shalt Surely Die, and used as a basis for your study of the passage. To get this free book, write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Just ask for the March literature offer, or ask for the book, Thou Shalt Surely Die. Just for this month, the book is free for the asking. Afterwards, of course, it will be listed in our regular literature order sheet for a $3 offering. My address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. We'll include with the book a small tract of mine titled, Where is Your Soul After Death? It covers a few things which are not in the book, so the two of them together will give you a pretty complete story of what the Bible teaches about death. I am going to cover part of that story, of course, on this and the next radio broadcast, but it is much better that you have the book and the tract for your own study at home, where you can search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. I know in any discussion of life after death, one Bible passage that is used by practically every minister is the story of the rich man and Lazarus told by Jesus Christ in Luke 16. I'll touch on that only briefly in this radio series because I did 3 broadcasts on that story some time ago, which are available on cassette tapes. Suffice it to say for now that the rich man and Lazarus is a parable. Lazarus represents Israel. The rich man is Jacob, Israel's brother Esau, whose name was changed to Edom, or Red, in Genesis 25. He represents Esau, Edom, or the Reds, world communism, ruling over the world but then brought low and destroyed at the end of the age. The rich man's clothes of purple and fine linen represent his political and religious power. Purple is the color of monarchy or civil rule. White linen is the color of religion. The rich man in the parable has 5 brethren. Esau, Edom had 5 sons. Abraham refused to take a warning to the 5 brethren by saying, quote, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. These are almost the exact words of Jesus Christ to the Jewish Pharisees in John 5, verse 45, 46, and 47. The dogs in the story are heathen nations, the sores are the sin sickness of Israel, and the great gulf between them is between Jacob, the inheritor of the covenants, and Esau, the one who sold his birthright to the covenants, to Jacob, and cannot get it back. So it says in Hebrews 12, verse 17, he sought it carefully with tears. It is strange that ministers do not seem to suspect a parallel between the rich man of Luke 16 and the scarlet woman of Mystery Babylon of Revelation 17. Both are dressed alike with purple and fine linen, both have wealth, both are opponents of God's people, and both are destroyed in fire. Well, that is a thumbnail sketch of the rich man and Lazarus, enough to show you it has absolutely nothing whatever to do with men dying and going to heaven or hell. The word heaven isn't even in the story, and the word hell is translated from the Greek Hades, which any good linguist will tell you is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Sheol, which is translated grave. As I said, I have a 90-minute or 1.5-hour cassette Bible study on the rich man and Lazarus, And you may have that simply for the asking. You'll have to ask for it by title, The Rich Man and Lazarus. And by the time you listen to that 1.5 hour Bible study, you'll wonder how you could ever have been fooled by someone teaching that complicated story as if it is just about three men, two in heaven and one in hellfire, talking to each other. My address for that tape is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. On all of these things, of course, we would appreciate an offering toward the radio ministry, but if you cannot send an offering, simply write and ask for them. All right, to Job. Turn to Job 3. Job had lost his children and most of his wealth, and he was wishing he had died at birth. In wishing that, he describes where he would have been if he had died, and who else would be there, and the condition of those who were there. Verse 13 through verse 19 of Job 3. For now should I have lain still and been quiet, I should have slept, then had I been at rest, with kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as an hidden untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light, there the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest, there the prisoners rest together, they hear not the voice of the oppressor, the small and great are there, the servant is free from his master. Sheol, a place of silence, of sleep, the mighty and the humble, the wicked and the good, the adults and little babies, all who have died are in this place of silence and rest. It hardly fits the modern description of hell with its flames, the devils dancing around poking pitchforks in the screaming dead, and so on, does it? In previous broadcasts, we saw from the book of Genesis that Jacob expected to go to this place, Sheol, when he died, that he expected Joseph to go there when he died, and now we see Job expected to go there, and he described it. Turn to Job 7, verse 9 and 10. The word grave here is from the Hebrew word Sheol. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to Sheol shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. No mention of the resurrection here, but you stay with me. In verse 20 and 21, Job again speaks of his own death. I have sinned, what shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression, and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. In other words, Job was saying to God, if you don't pardon my transgression, I'm going to die, I'll sleep in the dust. Think on that for a moment. Job was saying that if God did not pardon him, when he, Job, died, and of course he would die an unpardoned sinner then, his condition would be in death as an unpardoned sinner, quote, I shall sleep in the dust. And thou shalt seek me in the morning, and I shall not be. He would no longer exist. He would be dead. He would be asleep in the dust. No indication Job had any thought that unpardoned sinners would spend eternity in pain and agony. In Job 10, verses 21 and 22, Job calls death a land of darkness. Now, many ministers realize the Old Testament does not teach consciousness after death. So they say, oh, that truth was not revealed to the Old Testament writers. That was a truth revealed by Jesus in the New Testament so that Christians would know. Well, Job was a believer in Jesus Christ. He speaks of his Savior and Redeemer later on, and we'll read those verses. Did God allow Job to believe a lie and write it in God's Word? Are we expected to believe that God hid truth from Jacob and Joseph and Job and revealed it to pagans and heathens? Every pagan and heathen religion in the world, from the dawn of time, has taught that man is immortal, that he lives on after death. Some pagans even teach reincarnation. Others teach man came from heaven, lives here for a while, and then returns to heaven when his body dies. Are the ministers trying to tell us that God Almighty allowed all of the heathen and the pagans to know the truth about the state of the dead, but taught his own followers a lie? That is what they are doing when they say, "Oh, the truth of the state of the dead wasn't revealed to God's prophets in the old times." Turn to Job 13. We'll find that Job believed in salvation. Later he speaks of his Redeemer and describes his own expected resurrection on the earth. If that doesn't make Job a Christian, then I don't know what does. Job 13, verses 15 and 16 read this: "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him." Job 14 and verse 1 is a verse often read at funerals. "Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." But the next verse reads, "He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." That last phrase fits precisely all of the rest of Job's writings, but not modern theology. Job is speaking of man's death, and he says that man, quote, "continueth not," unquote. In verse 6, he speaks of man's death as, quote, "that he may rest." And the margin rendering on that says it could read, "that he may cease." Job continues on about the state of the dead, verse 7 through 9. "For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. Yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant." Many of you know that. Cut off a tree, even a full-grown one, and often a new bud and trunk will grow right back out of the old stump. Certain species are very hardy that way. The stump has to be grubbed out of the ground to prevent its continuing after the tree is cut off. On the contrary, Job then compares man's death, verse 10 through 12. "But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep." Here we have that thought of non-existence again. And by the phrase, "till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake," Job has to mean they will sleep until the present heaven passes away, and the new heaven and the new earth come in, because in the very next verses he speaks of the resurrection, which proves further that Job was a Christian. Verse 13 through 15, Job 14. "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave or in Sheol, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hand." Job speaks of the time till his change come as a time of sleep, of non-existence, of waiting, of rest. The phrase, "till my change come," is similar to Paul's passage on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So Paul speaks of the dead as asleep, except, of course, those who would not die prior to Jesus' return. In 1 Thessalonians 4, he uses the same term, sleep, for those who die before Christ's return. Reading on in 1 Corinthians 15, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Paul knew, as did Job, that change would come at the last trump. It would not, it could not, come at one's death, but at the resurrection. So Christian Job and Christian Paul agree on the state of the believing dead. They are asleep until the resurrection. Job has more to say of the condition of the dead in Sheol. Job 17, while still sorrowing and grieving over his condition of misery, he speaks further of death and then writes this, Job 17, verses 13 through 16. If I wait, the grave, and that's from Sheol, if I wait, Sheol is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness. I have said to corruption, thou art my father, to the worm, thou art my mother and my sister. And where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? They shall go down to the bars of the pit, and that's translated from Sheol. They shall go down to the bars of Sheol when our rest together is in the dust. When our rest together is in the dust. So Sheol, the only Hebrew word translated hell in the Old Testament, is a place where men rest together in the dust. Job, of course, knew what God had told Adam about Adam dying. God said to Adam as he was casting he and Eve out of Eden, this is Genesis 3, verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now you can't put Adam anywhere in death but in the dust of the ground without making God a liar when he said that to Adam. God told Adam he would return. That means go back to somewhere where you were before, the ground. He said Adam was dust, and when he died he would become dust again. The whole story of the creation of Adam from the dust of the earth is bound up in those words. I believe many of the so-called scientists who are attempting to prove that spacemen originally came from some other planet and are our forefathers are anti-God people trying to deny the truth that man is mortal, created here on the earth from the dust of the ground, and that God gave him life, and when man dies and returns to the dust from which he was made. Many of the churches join in and deny the words of the Creator God by teaching that man is immortal and will go on living instead of returning to the dust. With their teachings, both deny God's word about man's creation and man's mortality. The truth, of course, is in God's word, no matter what men say, be they scientist or minister. God says man came from the dust of the earth, and when he dies, he ceases to exist. He becomes nothing but inanimate dust again. Turn to Job 19. Job believed in Jesus Christ and the resurrection. We'll begin reading in verse 23. This is Job 19. Oh, that my words were now written! Oh, that they were printed in a book! And of course, Job's wish was granted, for I am reading them out of a book, God's Bible. Verse 24. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever, and they are permanent. God's word stands forever. So Job's wish has come true, and here are the words that Job wanted to be preserved forever. verse 25 through 27 of Job 19. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Verse 26 has an alternate, marginal translation. After I shall awake, though this body be destroyed, yet out of my flesh shall I see God. Job knew his old body would disappear in Sheol, in the grave, but that he would awaken out of sleep in a new body and see his Redeemer. And of course, every Christian should believe that. In chapter 21 and verse 30, Job even speaks of the wicked reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. That is what Jesus said in John 5, verse 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, or of judgment. Where did Jesus say both the good and the evil would be when they would be called out? In heaven or in hell? No, they would be. That is the Christian theology of Jesus Christ 2 millenniums ago. That is the Christian theology of Job millenniums before that. And that is Christian theology today. Well, we didn't get to David and Solomon. Next time, God willing. This is Pastor Emery. Sit down right now and write for your free copy of our almost 100-page book on the state of the dead titled, Thou Shalt Surely Die. The announcer will give my address as soon as I finish talking. Examine for yourself each one of the 19 passages used by the churches to teach that men live on in a conscious state, such passages as the one about absent from the body, present with the Lord, the souls under the altar, Enoch and Elijah, Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, Samuel called up by the witch of Endor. The book even discusses out-of-the-body experiences, claimed by so many and made so much of by ministers and the occult. You'll also receive the tract, Where is Your Soul After Death, when you write. If you want the C90 cassette with the 3 radio broadcasts on the rich man and Lazarus, you'll have to ask for that specifically by title. Again, free for the asking. That series brought a tremendous amount of mail from startled Christians who said they had had no idea that story contained so much Bible teaching and that it was not about men in heaven and hell talking to each other after all. Wait for the announcer to give my address. Until next week when I return, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.